Matthew chapter 24, starting with verse 15. This is lesson 73 in a dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And as we continue there, last week we touched on some very important issues about being born again and how that affects the nation Israel and not so much the body of Christ, because if you trust Christ died for your sin, buried, and rose again, you're a new creature. God has made you something brand new, something that's never been thought of before. So that's a blessing. We left off in verse 14, but we're starting with verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulations, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 15 describes, and we touched on this a couple lessons ago, but verse 15 describes the middle of the tribulation period. And that's right here that's going on in your Bible timeline. And that's Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, prophesies about that desolation of Jerusalem. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. So when they get over here, the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is telling that little flock about a time period over here in the dispensation of the kingdom over here. The dispensation of the grace of God in which you live in now is not there. Okay? I know a lot of people mixes that, but it's not there. They're in the dispensational law that Jesus Christ is under, and he's dispensing that, and he came. So he's telling that little flock about a time period over here, and guess what? They had the book of Daniel, did they not? Mm-hmm. They had their Hebrew Bible that was Genesis through Malachi and all. So that this would seem to suggest that whosoever lived through the tribulation period would understand the latter part of Daniel's chapter 10 and 11, okay, in this kingdom program over here. So when he says that, but during this time, the Antichrist is at Jerusalem professing to be God and deceiving the nations. Hold your fingers there and go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 1 says, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the gathering together unto him. Paul just said, by the coming of who? Jesus Christ and by the gathering together of him. You know what that event is?
The rapture.
That's the catching away of the body of Christ when he comes to get the body of Christ. Now in verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's that time period right here. That's the Antichrist. So Paul was telling the people in Thessalonica and the body of Christ, hey, don't be deceived. You know, I told you about these things. The Antichrist is on the earth declaring himself to be God Almighty. That's what that period over there. He's not there yet, by the way. He's not here yet. Jesus Christ is in heaven right now, isn't he? In that time period, when that Antichrist is sitting on the throne of God, Jesus is in heaven. Go back to Matthew. And next time you'll see him is down in verses 29 and 30 in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29 and 30. That's the next time you're going to see the Lord after he's talking about that period. So once again, he's explaining to the little flock what's going to take place in that 70th week of Daniel. The Antichrist, if you will, is going to be standing there saying, do you see him up there? He's going to be pointing God. Do you see him up there? And he's going to be saying, that's the devil. And we've got to get ready to battle against him. Now, you remember back in Matthew chapter 3, verses 12? Hold your finger there and go back to Matthew chapter 3. This is very interesting how John the Baptist mentions this. John the Baptist says in verse 11, he says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. You see three baptisms there? Okay. Verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Once again, you know what that fan is? It's not one of those little fans. Oh boy, it's hot. A fan is a pitchfork. If you remember back in the older days, now I do, if you're old as I am, know that they pick up wheat and chaff with a pitchfork. It's a fan. It's designed different, you know? So when the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, when the fan is in his hand, there comes the Jesus Christ with a pitchfork. What pitchers do you ever see holding a pitchfork? Satan, the devil. So see how that trickery is messing with your mind? So when Jesus, when the Satan is sitting here, on the, when Satan, the Antichrist, is on that throne, he's going to say, here's one with a pitchfork. You've got pictures in your Bible of them. That type of thing. You've known it ever since you was 5 years old. He's got a fan. He's come down here not to make friends. He's come down here purging things. So you got to think about that. He's going to, go back to Matthew 24, he's going to convince the people of this planet, in his system, the world, that he is God and that Jesus Christ is the devil. That's scary, isn't it? Because people will convince you and trick you and tell you the Bible says this, but it says that, and you follow a man. You better follow the Word of God. And I hope you do. He is the good guy and Christ is the bad guy. You see this? Now, if you know anything about the dispensation of grace and understand the work of this ministry, who's the bad guy and who's the good guys? When you tell them that you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing else, that you have the Word of God and the King James Bible, you know, and that you know you don't work for your religion, you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again, you come out of that system, you're sanctified, what do they look at you and say? You're evil. My Bible don't say that. So in a personal sense, guess what? It can apply to us today, but don't worry, guys. It's happened to me, and I'm still here. You know, people's tried to, for the last 20-some years, you know, mark my wife and I and that type of thing, but don't let that discourage you, okay? Because I believe the Word of God, and that's what I believe. His religion, his activity, his system, he is God, and Christ is his enemy. You know Isaiah 14, don't you? When he says, I. You ever seen that? Isaiah 14, when the five eyes? He is going to be God and as God on that throne. Try to be. And will deceive the nations. That's what's going on in the context as we read in Matthew 24. And when you read Matthew 24, it's not the activity, but what the believing remnant is to do, that what's going to take place around them. See, Lord Jesus Christ is instructing that little flock of believers and say, listen, guys, this is what's going to happen around you over here. You know, that's important. because they're going to pay attention. And they're going to also have the Word of God. Matthew 24, verse 16. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now, who is that going to flee?
Israel.
The believing remnant, the little flock. That's who's going to flee the mountains when the Antichrist professes himself to be God over here. That's not you and I. You're not in Jerusalem. You're not in Judea. So don't let people say this is your Jerusalem, and you probably heard that. This is your Jerusalem. This is your... No, it's not. It's over there where God says it is. Verse 17. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Him on the housetop, what does he say? Don't come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. Don't come back to get your clothes, guys. Now you and I would say, wait a minute, I got to go get my pictures. I got to go get my Bible. I got to get my clothes. I'm going to be gone. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone. You don't do that. He over there. And woe unto them which are with child, and to let them that suck in those days. People's nursing babies is going to be hard for them. Because, you know, they're going to be gone. They're going to be traveling. But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath. Now, why wouldn't you want it to be in the wintertime? Cold. You know when they used to go out west on them wagon trains? There's a certain time of month that they would leave, say, this Ohio, because it took months. And the last thing you want to do is be caught in Rocky Mountains in the wintertime, right? Last thing you want to do is take off walking from here to Akron, Ohio in the wintertime. Summertime's not that bad. Just stick out your thumb or something, you know, or call somebody in the wintertime. I'm not getting out there on that road. That type of thing. And it's going to be tough in the mountains when they flee those mountains. And he's saying pray that it won't happen in the wintertime. It's not saying it's not going to happen in the wintertime. It's saying to pray that it don't. And then say, why wouldn't you want to do it on a Sabbath day?
Because they can only go so far.
They can only go so far. Why? And Revelation 14 verse 12 over here in ages to come says, and I'll read this to you. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. See, they're going to be back under law over here. And the Sabbath day, you did not work on the Sabbath day. You didn't do nothing on the Sabbath day. And you couldn't walk. You couldn't do anything. You know, that's one of the things that Paul don't say about the body of Christ. He don't mention Sabbath day, does he? But people make Sunday the Sabbath day. They changed that, the Lord's Day, that type of thing. That's wrong. Sabbath day is from 6 o'clock Friday night to 6 o'clock Saturday night. It always was and it always will be. They keep the commandments in the tribulation period and are back under law, back under Israel's program. The law is in effect there. And the Sabbath, they couldn't flee. So all that stuff is going to take place over there. Verse 21. Matthew verse 24, 21. For then shall be great tribulations, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor even shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Great tribulations, since the beginning of the world. And God's going to shorten that time's sake, or that period, for the elect's sake. And the days are a great persecution and terror because if he didn't, guess what would happen? Nobody would survive. See, he don't shorten a time period, the 70 weeks, the 1 week. He shortens the time that it's going to kill everybody. So he saves that elect, say. The great tribulation is 2.5, is the second half of the tribulation period. 3.5 years, you've heard this. 3.5 years, 3.5 years, that makes 7, right? And the great tribulation, it's all tribulation, but the second half is called the great tribulation. And the days shorten is reference to if God lets his judgment run its course, then nobody would survive it. You know, they should be thanking God when they will. But for the elect's sake, which is Israel, it's not you and I, the little flock shall be saved for his purpose. Now, I know we talked about this in Romans, when we went through Romans. The election means service. That's what they're elected for, service. You and I are part of the elect in the body of Christ, and you're elected for service. You're not elected to serve office, you know, that type of thing. You're not predestined. God did not predestinate you and didn't predestinate you. See, predestination is, and we talked about this before, predestinated God in his mind had a body that he predestinated. He didn't predestinate individuals. He predestinated a body of Christ. And how do you get in that today?
By believing.
See? That's how you get in it. It's your choice to get in there. He didn't say you're going, like I said, you don't go to hell and I'm going to heaven. You make that choice. Remember the Samaritan? The story of the Good Samaritan? What did it say about the priest? What is it?
He just walked by.
But he got up that morning and chose that path. See? He made that choice to go that way. And there's other verses in the Bible that says, you know, that God lives, you know, choices. Did Adam have a choice? He did, didn't he? So it's about choices here. And they're going, and God chose Israel for elect's sake that's going to serve him over here. It says false prophets will arise during this time, working all kinds of signs and wonders. Almost like it's going on now, isn't it? Yeah. However, if any of these miracles goes against the word of God, then they're supposed to reject that miracle. And by the way, the signs and wonders are pretty persuasive. And I guarantee you right now, they'll trick your mind right now, won't they? You know, it's like persuasive. He got up and walked. They don't watch him 5 days later. He's back with his cane and all that stuff. Brother here. You know, he's going to have surgery, isn't he? Yeah, it'd be nice to walk back there. But anyway, let's move on. And such if possible, they would deceive God's elect. That's scary over there. And he told them in Deuteronomy chapter 13. Go there. Deuteronomy chapter 13. Deuteronomy chapter 13. It's Satan.
Satan.
Yeah, Isaiah 14, verse 12 is the fact that God, Satan says, I will. I'm going to be like the, and he finally says, I'm going to be like the Most High. That's reference to the possessor of heaven and earth. That's Satan, the five I wills.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
He exalted himself.
Yeah, exalted himself. Deuteronomy chapter 13, verse 1 says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, wherefore he saith unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt hearken unto these words. What's missing? Thou shalt not hearken unto these words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you, to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your souls. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or the dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, and brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to trust thee out of the way which the Lord thou God commanded thee to walk in. So shall thou put the evil away from the midst of him. And it goes on down and talks about the brother and mother and all that stuff. So over there, they should know, Deuteronomy, go back to Matthew chapter 24, if that prophet comes and does miracles and has visions and does it in front of you, and then uses it to try to get you away from not to believe in the Word of God, you better stay away from that guy over there, Israel. Now, that don't mean nothing today, does it? It should mean something. You know, all the Bible's for us, guys, but not all of it's to us. And when I read this over here and how what Israel's supposed to be an example, and I seen how they supposed to have been sanctified and set apart, and then I see how we are sanctified and set apart, supposed to come out of that idolatry and you know all that stuff over there and believe in other gods. And when somebody tells me that you're not supposed to rightly divide the word of truth and not supposed to believe your Bible, and that you can believe whatever you want to, you think I'm going to join hands and sing Kumbaya with them? Not this guy. Now, you guys might, because we got family members and stuff. You know, we'll be nice to them and stuff, but this is serious. And it should be serious to us, shouldn't it? And you're to follow the scriptures, Israel, and I will say the body of Christ. You follow the scriptures. And if somebody comes along and professes they have the Word of God that contradicts and does the miracles to demonstrate that God sent him, you should not pay attention to that guy. Not only Israel's program, or our program. The TV's full of that, aren't they?
Yes.
And you know what that is? It's spiritual show business. They make millions, don't they? Millions. And you scratching your head, couldn't we use that here today? Wouldn't you like to have your preacher riding around in a Cadillac?
No.
You know?
Have a plane in the boat.
Wouldn't you like him to have, you know, three-piece suits? No, just forget. No, that stuff's worldly stuff. No.
Crystal.
Yeah, there you go.
Crystal.
TV. Yeah, in a little. We got a big refrigerator. Fred, go ahead and take that one. But anyway, today in the dispensation of grace, people still will follow other people and other gods rather than believe the words in the book.
Amen.
That's what's sad. And you're constantly battling that, aren't you? When you walk up to people and say, hey man, do you know God said this? And they look at you like, what? My Bible don't say that. And you're showing them in the words. And they still say, well, that's what you say. You know, it's sad. Verse 25. Matthew 25. Behold, I told you before. Ooh.
Where at?
Matthew 24, verse 25. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That verse warns the little flock not to believe the false prophets. That's what it's saying. You know, and wherefore they proclaim the word that has come, and he is here and there. Do not believe that. He's telling the little flock that. Don't believe that. And we're told exactly how his second coming will take place. He says, lightning comes from the east to the west. Every one of you know the Lord has his second coming. His first coming is when? Right here, right? He came. His second coming is over here. He's still in heaven right now, and he's not come back. Even though when Stoney and Stephen, he stood up and he was ready to do something. And I believe God the Father said, "Son, sit down. We got something else going, getting ready to happen right here." He starts a dispensation of grace. But he comes back over here with fire and great vengeance. He's coming back with flame. And, well, the JWs, you know them? And the Seventh-day Adventists and many, many others will say he has already came back. But the Lord said in verse 30, squeeze down there at verse 30, "And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and there shall all then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Now how? Well, you know how they say that. They just ignore the Bible, don't they? Or they have their own Bible. But look, Revelation verse 1, and we didn't look at this verse, but you can write this down. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7 says, "Behold, every eye shall see."
No matter where you are.
No matter where you're at. And now I know what people say today, you know, satellite TV, boy, you know, in a blink of an eye. Well, let me tell you something. You can believe this or not. The Lord sends 90-pound stones, 90-pound hailstones from the heavens when he starts to cleanse it. And guess that's what that's going to do with your satellite systems and your little tanks and your aircrafts. It's going to come on where they're going to go right back to horses and camelbacks. You may not believe that, but I do. It can happen as quick as it became. It can happen.
But satellites too. If everybody saw it on satellite, that wouldn't really be power.
No.
If everybody saw it happening, wherever they were, they couldn't deny it.
That's why when the Satan's over here and Antichrist, and we're getting ready to look at some things right now, the heavens are open. And they're going to see the Lord up there on his throne of glory getting ready to come back. Now that's not a satellite.
Mm-hmm. Big television screen right in the sky.
Big picture.
Big picture.
Okay, verse 28-29. "For whosoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken." What does that say? Immediately, right? And the aftermath of the destruction from the coming second coming, that's after the great tribulation period, right here. Immediately after this tribulation period, it will darken, the moon won't shine, etc. "Then shall the Son of Man appear in glory, and he shall send his angels to gather the elect." You see that, don't you? Okay. Note, the passage is thought to be the rapture by the people who wrongly divide the word of truth. Right here, they're starting to say Matthew 29 and on down through here as we get through here. Maybe not today, but we got lessons to come. The fact that they say this is the rapture of the church. You heard that term, rapture? You know rapture's not in the Bible. It's the catching away. You know Bible's not in the Bible. Okay? So don't let people say, you know, "Hey, you believe in the rapture." Yeah. It's just a catching away. And if you want to use that term. The rapture, catching away, is in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. And I'm gonna share these comparisons with you right now. If you want to think about this. About the catching away versus that. Now, it does definitely seem... Well, I will back up. There is a catching away in mid-trib. He catches 144,000 out. Okay? They're coming out and Israel's fleeing. The second coming is Matthew 24. The rapture is in 1 Thessalonians. There's visions we read in verses 27, 30. There's visions, signs in heaven. There's no signs, no way to tell of the catching away of the body of Christ. Now, I believe you should be waiting, watching, and be ready. I believe that the minute you trust Christ died for your sins and rose, believe that he died and buried and rose again, that you're in a ready state, you're in a wartime situation out there, there's a battle going on, and you'd be ready at any time. So when you hear the trump, we're going to look at some things later on about a trump. When you hear that trump, you're gone. The wrath of God, you talked about the battle of Armageddon, verse 28. There's no wrath and for the body of Christ in Thessalonians. We're saved from the wrath to come. Now, you may not want to be saved from the wrath to come, but I sure am. The tribes will mourn in verse 30. Joy and rejoicing is the catching away. Aren't you looking for that? That blessed event? I'm ready. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, happy day. Son of man coming in the clouds. Saints go up in the clouds. Christ sends his angels to gather elect. Christ himself gathers the elect of the body of Christ. Angels sound a trumpet. God sounds a trump. A trump. Trump, and I may do this later on, but a trump is a voice. It's not a trumpet. It makes a sound, but God makes a sound, and his sound's the word of God. I mean, it's like I got shivers going up my spine because it's true. I have the word of God. And when you speak that and read that, you're speaking God's words. Man. Angels, no resurrection right there when he comes back. But there is a resurrection for the body of Christ, isn't it? So there's some quick comparisons about that is not the event that we're looking for, the body of Christ. Now Matthew 24 is no reference to the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. Matthew 24 is a reference to the second advent of Christ back to the earth. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.